Nigel by Dave Warburton.
It's easy in this life to get into a comfortable rut and relax in the knowledge that this blissful state will last forever. Surrounded by people you love and who love you, and in a friendly, familiar environment, what could possibly happen to spoil things? How could things change? Well, I'm here to tell you that nothing is unchangeable. None of us live in a vacuum. We are dependent upon an unseen network of people, all of whom are striving to make a good life for themselves. The misfortunes of one tend to be the misfortune of all. Don't take anything for granted. Cherish and protect your blessings insofar as you're able. Any number of events may be just around the corner to take away your comfortable life and leave you desolate. I know, because it happened to me. One of the two loves of my life is my dad, and I'm sure that he would do anything to protect his family from harm. When I say my dad, he's not really my proper father. I can scarcely remember my real father, or my mother for that matter. I was taken away from them when I was about 3 months old. My parents had a large family and were unable to care for me properly, so I was taken away and I've never seen my real mum and dad since. That was nearly 10 years ago. There have been times when I've wondered just what happened to them or my numerous brothers and sisters, but for the most part I've been more than happy to consider my foster parents as my real mum and dad, and they have certainly always treated me as their own, so why rock the boat? They christened me Nigel. My life was one of enormous joy and contentment. Dad used to take me down to the park and we'd play ball for hours, just the two of us. As I got older, I suppose, in a way, our relationship matured. We'd go for long walks together, and Dad would confide in me, in what I can now see was a kind of therapy. And then, suddenly, it was all gone. My dad's whole demeanour changed from a happy, positive, fun-loving guy, loved by everyone, into a melancholy man, with a worried look and an air of impending doom. My mum's normal sunny disposition vanished under a furrowed brow. It all started about 6 months ago. I was playing in the garden with my friend Jack from next door when Dad came home from work. He left the car on the drive, slammed the door and walked right past me without a word. I knew that something had upset him because he always stops and has something to say whenever he sees me out. He went indoors and we carried on playing, but a few minutes later we heard raised voices from inside. Dad was yelling at Mum and she was yelling back. I stopped and moved further towards the house. My friend Jack just shrugged and carried on with the game. I guess he's used to such sounds. His parents were ever so rich and they seemed to fight all the time, but this was something new to me. New and disturbing. Mum and Dad never squabbled, or if they did, I'd never heard them. It saddened me to think that they were unhappy. I didn't sleep much at all that night, and I was in the kitchen by the following morning at breakfast time when they were talking about their problem. At least they'd stopped shouting at each other, so things seemed a bit calmer.
So who made all of these decisions?
The board. They apparently held a special meeting over the weekend and decided that the company was no longer financially viable with the current level of staffing.
But why you? You must have been there longer than most of them.
It doesn't work like that, Jan. There are four RIBA qualified architects. Two of the others are partners in the business, and another has been with the company for 23 years. They have to reduce costs by 25%, so one architect has to go. That's me.
Oh, it all seems so unfair.
Yeah, I know.
But the company seemed to be doing so well. What about that new housing estate in Cheltenham?
32 residences. Just three different types. We won't get fat on that. No, our biggest single client at the moment is, ironically, our next door neighbour.
What, Travers?
That's right, Travers Developments. He's building some of the most prestigious homes in the West Midlands. Our designs for his clients are amongst the most ambitious I've ever worked on.
I didn't know that he was a builder.
Oh, he isn't. He's a property developer. There's a world of difference. He employs our company to undertake the design works and other building companies to do all of the construction under the watchful eye of his site managers. Having acquired the land, he sits in the middle handling the finance, planning and legal matters, etc., and providing the day-to-day interface with the end client. He takes the risks, and at the end of the day, he takes the lion's share of the profits.
Well, that doesn't seem fair. You've done all the work, and he's taking the money.
Oh, it's fair, all right. That's what property developers do, and he's pretty good at it. If you're happy to pay a few million for a new house, he's your man.
Good Lord. Didn't realise we had such a rich neighbour. I mean, their house is really nice, but I wouldn't think millions.
No, he's not the flash type. Probably quite happy where he is and sees no reason to move. I suppose he's just happy with his neighbours.
Oh, come on, John, this is serious.
Don't remind me. My redundancy payment will keep us going for a short while, but after that I don't think what will happen.
But there must be plenty of jobs for a fully qualified architect.
10 years ago we'd have been right. The building business was strong. Now housing and commercial developments are few and far between. It's not by chance that people who were made redundant find it difficult to get new employment. There's no work for them. That's why they're redundant.
Okay, okay. Don't get upset again.
I'm sorry, I just don't know what to do.
The next couple of months were not much fun. Both Dad and Mum seemed preoccupied and had no time for me. There were days when hardly a word was spoken. I began to feel that they might never smile again. I talked to my friend Jack about it. He said I shouldn't worry because his parents were squabbling all the time. Perhaps that's the problem. Perhaps things seem so bad at home now because Mum and Dad are usually so happy. Jack said that his Mum and Dad clearly still love each other, but that's just the way they are, always squabbling. He's never known anything different. I told Jack that Dad has lost his job and was worried about money and that I'd heard Dad say that we might have to move house in order to get a job. We agreed that would be just the worst thing that could happen because we were best friends, but what could we do about it? We talked about crazy schemes to run away or just hide rather than be parted. But I guess that we knew that there was really nothing that we could do. If Dad couldn't get a job locally, we'd have to say goodbye. One evening, while we were all in the lounge watching TV, my dad said something that gave me a glimmer of hope that all was not lost.
I've been thinking about the possibility of going freelance. It's perhaps not ideal, as you wouldn't have any guarantee about your income from month to month. I've got a pretty wide range of architectural experience, so I could seek contracts in commercial as well as domestic building. May not work out, but if we could get one substantial client to establish ourselves in the marketplace, it would allow us to keep paying the bills.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. How do we start?
We?
Yes, we. I'm involved in this as well. If this works, it might just save our house. I don't want to move any more than you do. What do we have to do to start?
Well, as I said, we need one substantial client to set us on the road. I don't like doing it, but I'll have to contact the company's past and current clients to see if anyone will trust me with a commission.
They will surely do that. I mean, they know your work already, don't they?
No, they don't. That's the problem. All contact with the client, either by phone, correspondence, or face-to-face, is undertaken by one of the partners. They'll either know George, Malcolm, or Richard. We do the work, but they're the face of the business.
Well, that doesn't seem fair.
Oh, it's pretty standard practice. If we had a close relationship with the client, we might be tempted to work directly and cut out the company.
Right, so let's start doing just that. How can you convince a client that you're the bloke who's done their work?
Oh, that's easy enough. My initials be on all plans and planning documents, together with the client's initials and a reference number. So, for instance, JCBC032 is a document, or plan number 32,
which I produced for Bovis Construction.
Great. Get on to some of them right away.
Hold on. It's not that easy. Even though I no longer work for Evans Brothers, I have a contractual agreement that if my employment with them is terminated, under whatever circumstance, I would not approach any current client within 2 years.
Well, that's not fair.
Fair or not, it's fairly standard practice in the service industries.
So how do they expect you to make a living if they've got all of the potential clients tied up?
Well, whilst I can't approach them, they can approach me.
But how do they know you're available?
Networking. In this business, news travels fast. They know.
So you're going to get approached by them?
Only if they're unhappy with their present service and think I'll be better.
But of course you're better.
You tell them, love.
Someone has to know that Dad's an architect looking for work. He's not just any architect either. He's the best. He's my dad. I told Jack that we must come up with a plan to let everyone know. He said that if we could only get his dad to talk with my dad, things could be very different. But how could we do that? We both promised to give it some thought. It was a couple of days later that Jack met me in our back garden in a state of great excitement. "I've got the answer, Nige," he said. "My mother and father are having a party at our house." "Oh, that's nice," I said, "but I don't see how that helps our cause." "Well," said Jack, "I think I can get one of the invitation cards and you could leave it on the doormat as if it's come through the letterbox." There are times when Jack gets such stupid ideas that I want to smack him on the nose, but just occasionally he comes up with a little gem and I realise why he's my best friend. This was one of those occasions. I can't imagine what might happen when Mum and Dad turn up to a party uninvited, but it may be our only chance of bringing the two dads together. It was certainly worth a shot. A couple of days later, with the party only 2 days away, Jack met me in the garden with a very smart, gilt-edged invitation card. The plot was progressing. That same night, when Mum and Dad had both gone to bed, I quietly went to the front door and placed the invitation on the mat beneath the letterbox. At breakfast the following morning, the conversation was interesting.
"Yes, it must have been delivered early this morning. Presumably put it through the letterbox as he went off to work."
"Are you sure it's not meant to be for someone else? I mean, we hardly know them."
"Well, they must have known it was our letterbox they were putting it through."
"Are you sure there's no name on it anywhere?"
"Certain. Look, no envelope, just the card. Vincent Amber Travers would appreciate the pleasure of your company on the evening of the 2nd of August to celebrate the occasion of their 25th wedding anniversary. Celebrations begin circa 7:30 p.m. No RSV necessary, no presents please."
"Well, what should we do?"
"Oh, go, of course."
Stage one completed. They will meet. There's really nothing more we can do now. We must just hope that when they do meet, they'll talk about Dad's situation. Over the next 2 days, Jack and I considered whether there was anything more we could do to ensure that all would go according to plan and that our two fathers would strike up a business relationship. We decided that there was really little more that we could do. We'd have to trust to luck now. Finally, the day arrived, and at 7:45 precisely, my parents left the house to go next door to the Travers. Mum looked lovely in her poshest party frock, and Dad looked every inch the successful businessman at his leisure.
"Good evening. How can I help you?"
"We've come to your party."
Oh, do come in. I'll get Amber." "Amber?" "She won't be long. Do come into the living room. Can I get you a drink?"
"Oh, that would be nice. G&T?"
"Coming right up. And how about you, sir?" "Look, I'm awfully sorry, but I don't seem to know your name."
"Oh, I'm John, and this is my wife, Janet. We're your next-door neighbours."
"Of course you are. Oh, look, I'm so sorry. My memory for faces is just non-existent. Ah, there you are, darling. Well done, well done."
Good evening. Lovely to see you. So, what have I done well?
Inviting our lovely neighbours here to join our celebrations. Well done.
Well, I'm delighted to see them, of course, but I have to confess that I didn't send them an invitation, so it must have been you.
Well, I suppose it must have been me. Look, it doesn't matter who sent the invitation. The point is that you're here, and it's a delight to see you. Now then, I have one G&T. So what about you, John?
I'll have a beer if you have one, please.
I have more than one, John. I have about a dozen different varieties. Now, come with me and select whatever you fancy. Darling, take Janet through and introduce her. We'll be with you in this tick. Now then, John, come and have a look at this lot. I'm a beer nut myself, so I thought I ought to cater for all tastes.
Wow, I don't think I've ever seen so many beers.
Yeah, a lot of them are imported. Quite a lot from Belgium. Have you ever tried Trappist?
No, I've never heard of it.
It was first brewed in France, in Cistercian monasteries, in the 17th century. Now, most of it comes from Belgium. I'll just take Janet's drink through and I'll be back. It really is so nice to meet you folk. Here we are, Janet. Just shout when you want another. Now then, let me pour you a Trappist. There. Try that, John. I think you'll like it.
Yes. Very nice.
Good. There's plenty of it, so just help yourself. Okay?
Right. Thank you.
I feel terrible that I didn't recognise you, John. How long have we been neighbours?
Well, we moved in nearly 2 years ago.
Amazing that we've never met. That's a comment on modern living, I suppose.
I suppose so. We all lead busy lives, and I guess we spend most of our time away from home just to earn a living.
Yes, that's certainly true for most. I guess I'm lucky. I spend most of my time here at home. I'm a property developer, so whilst I do have an office in town, I generally work here. Where do you work, John?
I'm an architect, and I work for Evans Brothers in town.
Really? Well, that's amazing. They do a lot of work for me.
Yes, I know. You're one of our best clients.
Well, well, what a coincidence. Well, if it means anything to you, I must say you're working for a top-notch outfit. They've done some superb work for me.
I'm so glad that you're pleased with us. And I must say that your projects have been a delight to work on. A couple of those commissions have been every architect's dream. I think that the Gloucester House is amongst the best work I've done.
You worked on the Gloucester House?
My design from start to finish. I absolutely loved it.
You're not JC, are you?
Well, I wouldn't claim to be the JC, but I am John Clarkson.
Good God. Living next door to me all the time. I've been trying to meet you for a couple of years. Cedric Evans wouldn't budge. You'll just have to be satisfied with the initials, Vince, he kept saying. He was petrified that I might poach you. And he was right. I would have given half a chance.
Really?
Oh, yes.
How about now? I've been made redundant. I'm looking for a job.
Get out of here. God, you're pulling my leg. Aren't you?
No. I was thinking of going freelance, but if I could get the security of a full-time job, I'd take it.
John, I will make you such an offer that you will not be able to turn me down. There's no place we couldn't go together. I've got 4 top-notch sites lined up with millionaire clients gagging for your designs. So what do you say?
Well, yes, we could talk.
We certainly will, John. We certainly will. Hey, Amber, come and listen to this.
And that's how it all began. Every relationship has to start somewhere, and in years to come, these two will both think that it all resulted from a happy accident. Pure chance. But I don't believe that chance can be relied upon to deliver. Some situations have to be engineered. Chance needs a helping hand. When they came home that night, they were like different people. I'd never seen such a change. Dad was laughing and bubbling over with joy. Jack said that the Trappist might have helped with that. Mum was back to her usual lovely smiling self. She looked like a great weight had been lifted from her shoulders. They both hugged me, something I'd really missed for months. I immediately guessed that things had gone as Jack and I had planned. But as it turned out, it was all so much better than we'd hoped. Dad didn't go and work for Jack's dad. No, they became partners. So Dad doesn't go to work every day as he used to. He works from home, so I see much more of him. The two families are now great friends. When Dad and I go for walks, Jack usually comes along and I go with Jack and Vince. Life is wonderful. Every now and then, Jack and I wonder if it would all have eventually happened without us. I believe it would have. I mean, it's daft to think that anyone's life could be so changed by a Labrador and a Border Collie, isn't it?
Nigel was performed by the Bare Bones Theatre Company with the following cast. Nigel was played by Tony Hearn. Janet by Jeanette Bennett. John by Howard Jones. Vince by Gordon Stewart. And Amber by Amanda Watkins. The play was recorded at the Froxfield Studio, Herefordshire, and produced by Dave Baldwin and Richard Warren.